everybody. We always like to encourage you to check us out on our multimedia options for you to encounter us.
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
I just looked at Don. He's like, yep, I'm on it. And Facebook, of course, check us out there as well. It's pretty cool. I really, every time I go look on to check what's coming up as far as openings, seasons, I punch right into it. And it's pretty doggone cool.
We'll get more active as the summer comes around. Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. Speaking of active and cool, Don always gives me grief when I do ski stories, but you know what? It's people watch this. It's like watching Indy 500. When the Olympics come on, the skiing is fun because you know somebody's going to crash. Not that everybody likes to see somebody get hurt, but you see somebody pushing it to the limit of physical
use, I guess. When you're watching a race like that, the one hard thing is to put it into perspective how steep that hill is. Ugh. I mean, it's not a low grade. This thing, they're almost like straight down.
It's a good pitch to it. And of course, it depends on the regiment, whether it's a downhill Super G,
different races,
GS or slalom, right? Each one will change according to that particular element. But this last week, Michaela Schifrin did the unthinkable, in her own words. She broke 87 wins on the World Cup circuit. That's never been done before and now can be described as the GOAT, greatest of all time. None of us, she said, myself included, probably more than anyone else, didn't believe this was ever going to happen. And she said, I'm still processing, I guess. I've had time to process it, but I haven't. I probably won't, it seems. She still has another World Cup race coming up. She's only 27 years old, Don. We were talking about that off air. She doesn't really know how to process things that are that big after she won her 87th victory in the slalom event in Sweden. And Ingemar Stenmark had that 86 win total. He did that in 1989, and no one thought that would ever be broken. He absolutely an amazing machine of a skier. To her, the 87 wins are just kind of a really big number. As cool it is to say that I've won 87 World Cup races, it's almost meaningless. It doesn't say anything about the journey I've been on. It just doesn't say anything about who I am as a person, which is kind of odd. I know everything I've experienced in life is since I've started ski racing the World Cup. I know the whole process, everything that's gone into it. And that really can't be summed up with a number. In fact, she prefers to call what she did resetting a record, which is pretty cool.
Well, she's kind of humble.
Rather than breaking it. And when it comes to that side of the fence, this is why this is so important. You brought it up off air. We were talking about it. She could do a lot more. Yes, she can. And the person that was encouraging and has been encouraging was Lindsey Vonn. I think people have recognized Lindsey Vonn over the years as being one of the best all-time female athletes out there skiing, as well as just in general, very solid promoter of women in sports. But here's what reason this makes such a big thing. Lindsey Vonn was in a speed event. A speed event, if you're not familiar, is a downhill, GS, and Super G. Those involve high speed. High-speed events, no matter whether you're a man or a woman, you look at all the guys in the U.S. men's ski team, regardless, men's, U.S. or otherwise. Speed events, as they say, speed kills. Well, in this case, speed injures.
Right.
If you have an impact or a wipeout at that speed, which happens, things go really bad really quick. Lindsey Vonn sustained so many knee injuries, so many replacements, so many different things when she crashes or crashed, her career was shortened. She could not participate. She had to take multiple times out to rehab. And the advantage that Schifrin has is that she, although participates in a downhill event and can win and be competitive, her specialty spans so much of the rest of the realm, meaning slalom, which is short turns. It's the gates that are breakaway gates. It's slower speeds. You very rarely have any wipeouts that are going to be bad. GS, same thing. You very rarely have situations where it's going to be a bad wipeout and get hurt. Super G, you start to get to the speed events now. That can be a problem, and of course downhill, then you have issues. But by the number that she's running, she can pick and choose what she does, picks and chooses the downhill and Super G courses that she wants to run and feels comfortable with. She knows she can dominate in downhill and slalom and GS. So what it comes down to is, will her number keep running? Absolutely. She is going to continue to dominate that circuit. And with her talent level, I mean, these races she's winning by half a second, which is beyond comprehension. Pretty crazy. Now, again, moving on to what I think is going to be developing into a GOAT as well. You brought it up earlier. Minnesota native, Jessie Diggins.
Right.
50K. A 50K she did. This is a race. And I don't know about you, but anything like 50 kilometers that you're going to propel yourself, to me, Avon, what do you think?
No, thanks.
I mean, it's like 25 miles or something, isn't it?
25 miles. And it's not just, let's go for a 25-mile journey.
It's a race.
It's a
marathon.
And they're usually at altitude.
Right. And I saw the end of the race, and I'm guessing she wasn't less than 5 feet behind the winner.
I know.
You know, and there was another girl in front of her. I mean, it was a dash to the end. They come over some kind of a hill.
Yep, into the stadium.
And then it's a mad dash to the finish. And I can't imagine you got a lot of gas left in the tank at that point.
Well, and, you know, the important thing when you really look at it, the competitive level in cross-country skiing has not been there on the U.S. side. They have not been competitive for I don't know when. And she, I think, is going to be setting that benchmark, but also setting up the training and showing what it can be to be successful and what it takes to be successful in a U.S. program. And the coaching is definitely adapting to that. It's such a – I don't mean to spend a ton of time on it, but when you look into what's going on that side of the fence, Michaela Schifrin just got a new coach that used to be coaching the Canadian team. This is going to be a huge thing for her. That is going to meld into something great. The whole team is going to be melding as they are and changing their whole makeup, and it's going to be pretty doggone cool. That's what makes it exciting, and it really is a cool event. So cheers to those guys. If you haven't checked it out, their races are online. It'll be good. So check it out. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about a little bit of pike record and Asian carp in the legislature. I don't mean they're swimming in it, but there could be some rules going on involving Asian carp. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Don, you know, I apologize for droning on about the skiing part of it, but, you know, that's a human story that's pretty amazing.
Well, what's amazing is we've got U.S. skiers that are
competing
really,
in the world circuit.
Really competing at the world level, where we never had that in the past.
It's Austria, you know,
we had
and
to
Norway.
Wait for curling to do that. Now they're doing it. So.
Yeah. Ava, he had to bring the curling thing.
Oh, well, yeah.
The rock. Yeah. You had to bring the rock into it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, speaking of records, this is a pretty cool one. Just the last week, Brad Lila got a Northern Pike out of Mille Lacs, and it's certified by the DNR as a tie for the catch-and-release Minnesota state record. He caught and released a 46.25-inch Northern Pike in Mille Lacs. January 20th, well, it was actually a while ago before it got certified. It was the end of January, but it just got certified. And it tied the catch-and-release state record caught by Brecken Kablicki on Basswood Lake in June 19th of 2021. They announced on the 13th that the huge northern pike caught had been certified, and it was released. I set the hook as the line was quickly peeling out. Immediately knew I had a very large fish on. Peeling out drag, and there was no stopping it. After about 10 minutes of fighting the fish, I knew it might take a bit more for me to land it. He hollered for help, and two nearby anglers came to his aid. He tried to get the fish to turn its head and come up the hole, but the fish was large and slush under the ice, complicated the endeavor. Every time she would get near the hole, a few inches of slush would come up, and we couldn't see down the hole. Initial challenge was my braided line would cut a groove in the bottom of the ice, and when by not connecting, the leader would meet the ice, it would get stuck. Ugh. You know, isn't that's like the ultimate panic?
Oh yeah,
I got the fish. I just can't. That, you know.
Suppose there's any hooting and hollering going on when they got that thing out through the hole.
He said he'd have to put his rod down into the hole to free up the line, and then my guides would freeze.
Oh sure.
You pull the line up, and the guides would freeze. After about 30 minutes, he was able to get the fish to the ice and did some quick measurements before releasing it back in the water. Fish was most likely a female that was carrying eggs before spawning. It was so satisfying to see her swim away. I'm so appreciative of the state for supporting the catch and release fish program. And she is out there swimming and
making more little northerns.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of them.
A lot of other northerns. Exactly. Exactly. The MN Fish, if you guys aren't familiar with MN Fish, they have really pushing to have that because now people can get the record set. They have the appropriate ways to record that and have that as a record. And I really applaud Ron Shera, one of the heads of MN Fish. A lot of the top guys out there in the outdoor world are supporting it. So if you have a chance, go check out MN Fish. They've done a great job at really supporting a lot of things in the fishing world that are doing nothing but help success in all aspects of the fishing world in the state of Minnesota. In fact, across the Midwest. So
yeah, pretty easy to find.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Just Google MN Fish.
Mm-hmm. Check it out and join up, be a member. They've got a lot of cool stuff. Not so cool, but helping get things better on the Asian carp in the Mississippi now. They're being targeted in new Minnesota legislation. Recently, legislation has come into play looking at preventing the spread of the invasive species from Lock and Dam 5. The legislation came reality in both the House and Senate with bills authorized by Pete Fisher and John Hoffman. The bills would provide $16.8 million to the Minnesota DNR to design, install, and operate a deterrent system in Mississippi River at Lock and Dam 5. And that would be really a cool deal. It really works well. They've found, as you know, sound is a deterrent, and that's one of the things that they've worked with. The bills would also provide $395,000 each year for the next 2 years to create and increase Asian carp removal and to consider management practices. The bill would provide $541,000 to the University of Minnesota to study Lock and Dam 5 spillway gate and to design a fish passage system for native fish. So you will still get the ability to transfer fish and move them from lower pools.
So it doesn't seem to affect other fish?
Mm-mm. Nope.
So the Asian carp are working on a little bit different wavelength.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Their radio's a little different.
Yep, yep. Obviously, it's a big problem.
Yep.
If it does get into the upper pools, this is, if people are familiar with it, the way it works is they don't, you can't catch them with fish hook and line. You can snag them. They feed on plankton and that kind of thing that the bait fish feed on. And if they don't have any feed left from the bait fish because they filter so much, then the bait fish die off. The bait fish die off, then the rest dies off. So it is a crush to the food chain, and that's where this species is so devastating because it's welcome to the feral hog system. Same concept. They right. literally go and go and go and breed and breed and breed. Friends of the Mississippi River executive director, said 16.4 million of the 16.8 will be used to design, install, and operate the deterrent system for the next 5 years. The other 400,000 will go into tracking equipment to track carp for additional studies. Our understanding is this is really the only way the Army Corps allows things to be built. They're looking at really setting it up as a temporary piece. This is crazy. So they set it up. They have to be set up as temporary. And then assuming it goes well, assuming it works well, then it can be labeled as permanent. Interesting how it has to work. The deterrent is a bioacoustic, like you'd mentioned, Don. And the dam in the Cumberland River has been using it, and it is 99% blockage rate.
Really? That's good news.
Yeah, it's great news. And the Minnesota DNR reported that they had, this is the numbers, they had 18 Asian carp captured in 2019, 83 in 2020, 71 in 2021 along the Mississippi River. In 2022, a tagged silver carp traveled 35 miles upstream in a single day to Lock and Dam 5.
Wow. In one day?
One day.
He was on a mission. We got to figure out how to measure.
I wonder if he had dark sunglasses on and a full tank of gas.
We got to figure out how to affect their compass so they start heading.
Go the other way. Yeah. That would be, hey, that would be great.
Yeah. That's why we get paid the little bucks.
You got to change current, Don. They like to swim up into the current.
Well, how do you turn that around?
lots of water? No. Yeah, no, it doesn't. Lack of water. We had that last year. That didn't work so well either. So it's not to say they can't move up past it, but it doesn't work like that. It's kind of like Lock and Dam 5 or nothing, and that's it. They need to stop at Lock and Dam 5 because if they get past that, it's not
Where
the
is
same.
Lock and Dam 5?
La Crosse, below La Crosse. Right
below La Crosse.
I think it's, yeah, it's got, no.
It's
got
to be by, south of, well, 4 no. would be down by Alma.
4 is Alma, 5 is just past that, so it's still in Minnesota. It's not Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, yeah, right down that end of the pool.
Yep.
So, well, thanks for joining us, guys. Believe it or not, that's a wrap. I can't believe it. It always goes so fast. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Listen to us next week. Not sure what it'll be story-wise, but it's going to be fantastic. Ava, Don, thank you, guys. I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. We are out of here. See ya.